Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, August 24th, 2021. If you were tuned in yesterday, I trust you're back for some more today. Mm-hmm. We were so excited yesterday, Marianne, and our special guest had so much more to share about her book, her life story, her testimony. We just kind of scratched the surface. So thank you, Dr. Marina Hoffman, for being available for Testimony Tuesday, and thank you for carving out the time. I know you've been doing a number of radio interviews, even including some with the Moody Broadcasting Network, and I think even some TV stations or some national networks have picked you up, and we count it a real privilege for you to share with us. So if you missed a portion of yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, or for that matter, WLUJ.org, WLUJ.org. And the book that Dr. Marina Hoffman has recently published is titled Women in the Bible, Small Group Bible Study. And there's free links of videos that you can walk through. And she really has a desire that people go through this together. They'll not only read it themselves, but then they'll havarim. They'll meet with somebody else and talk about it and share and give insights and have fun with it. So thank you for joining us again for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And before we get about 8 minutes into the program, Marianne, how about you doing a little introduction and recap of yesterday?
Oh, my. That's going to be hard. Well, Dr. Hoffman's book. Do you like to be called Dr. Hoffman or just, we'll just say Marina. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. Her book is available on Amazon. And, you know, I was just really very touched when you recounted the story of the terrible accident you had right after you got your PhD, the just really startlingly terrible car accident, and how your husband, in saving your life, actually kind of saved his, too. And I hope people just tune in to re-listen to that. I know we don't have time to go through everything again, but I hope everyone tunes in to listen to that. And you talked about some of what your PhD was about, and then we moved on to your book, which is extremely interesting to me. I had a question, because you talk about these women in the Bible, and yes, we all think of them as a group, but they lived in distinctly different, not just time frames, but really cultures. I mean, the culture that Hagar lived in was dramatically different than the culture that Hannah lived in, or Mary lived in, or Deborah lived in, or these are hundreds of years keeping these women at, you know, different time frames. And I just wonder, as you studied all this and looked into it, did you come up with like a central theme or thinking? And what also just, I know I'm saying two questions at once. I'm being Mark.
I'm rubbing off on her. She's layering all these questions.
You want me to jump in?
Yeah, I do want you to jump in. And also tell us, like, about Hagar. You know, what do you learn about one or two distinctly?
I was so happy to choose women across different cultures in the Old Testament and then also in the New Testament. And I hope that the readers realize that God was at work over thousands of years.
Yeah.
And I hope they take away that God is still at work today. There's a sense that there's a long history. There's not a short time period God has worked and it's over. No, God has been working from the first day of humanity and continues to work. So there's a great difference in culture, and I hope that encourages your listeners today. But there's also a sense, Marianne, that across the culture, some of us face the exact same challenges. You know, fear and uncertainty, these are not culturally based, right? We all have this sense as well. So we can also see that the same themes keep coming up in Scripture, and they're really the same challenges we face today.
Mm-hmm.
And we can know that just as God worked powerfully and faithfully in these women's lives, God is working powerfully and faithfully in our lives today.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's such a good point. So tell us some things you gleaned in your study from these women.
Well, talk about one of the biggest challenges I think that these women face. When I had my car accident, I remember a moment that I was in the ICU, and I don't know how long it lasted, Marianne, maybe a few hours. It might have been 2 days. I didn't know where I was. It was like there were no walls around me, no people, no noises. I was just in a state of being and focusing on Christ. And I didn't know if my husband was alive or if he would survive. And while the presence of God was strong, it was also the most horrible, darkest time of my life. So when I come back to Scripture, and as I heal and as I return to these stories, I look at the life of Hagar, for example. Here she's a woman, pregnant. She runs away from her place of safety into the wilderness. She's alone. There's wild animals, caravans. It's a really desperate situation of life and death for Hagar. And what happens? In that moment of her lowest point, the valley of the shadow of death for Hagar, God encounters her. God comes and meets her in the midst of her suffering. And how beautiful to know that oftentimes in our lives, these dark moments, these moments of suffering and great challenge are also moments where we encounter God and realize his presence and his peace and his joy and his faithfulness in really miraculous ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hagar is one, is just a story that intrigues me, has for a long time, and her screaming out to God and his answer to her, here's some water, and it just, God hears.
Yes, God hears Hagar. He sees Hagar. She has not been left behind. And, you know, Mary Ann, how many of us have felt isolated and at a loss and even desperately alone more than ever in the history of humanity in the last year and a half?
Mm.
And again, in the midst of our isolation and uncertainty and desperateness, God is with us. God is so faithful. God's presence will never leave us. He'll never abandon us, no matter how things are. And something I'm reminded of all the time is when I have doubts and I lack self-confidence and I'm so highly aware of all my limitations, I remind myself that the New Testament teaches our weakness is actually where Christ steps in greatest. So how beautiful that when we're in our lowest, weakest points, Christ is made strongest and Christ is most glorified. So whether listeners today are feeling encouraged and strengthened, and I hope they are, or whether they're feeling they're at the bottom, they're going through that valley of the shadow of death, even in their weakest times, they can rejoice that they walk in the strength of Jesus.
Hmm. In case you just tuned in, we have Dr. Marina Hoffman on the phone with us. We're calling her in Florida, and we're calling from our studio here in Urbana at Lincoln Square, where in a few weeks we're going to be having an open house. In fact, on 9/11, we're going to have an open house in Springfield, and we're working on a couple food trucks and giveaways for every family and some fun things that will be going on. And then the next week, on September 18th, we'll have an open house here. Both open houses are 1 to 4 p.m., but we appreciate you again taking today's call. We had you on yesterday for our Monday edition of Mark and Friends, and that program is archived and gives some more of the story and your testimony and why you wrote the book, Women in the Bible, Small Group Bible Study. You can purchase that on Amazon or at any great reputable bookstore. We highly recommend it. It's a great read, and it's not just for women. This is a book that highlights the women in the Bible, and I know oftentimes the Bible seems to highlight so many of the men, but God used many, many women in very unique and powerful ways. And so Marina has recorded and put together this book as not only a great read, but as like a Bible study that you can share with friends and neighbors and all learn through it. And I should say, Marina is an award-winning Bible scholar and dynamic speaker. You're learning that, speaker-teacher, who brings fresh insight and an engaging style to inspire readers to personally connect with the stories of women in the Bible. And she has a joyful spirit. You're hearing that through yesterday and today's broadcast, and is a survivor of a life-threatening trauma. We talked about that some yesterday with this car accident. And her Bible study is great for small groups or personal devotions, so we'd highly recommend it. It's titled Women in the Bible, Small Group Bible Studies.
Well, you know, I just have to say, first of all, Mark, thank you for the disclaimer and for saying that this book about women in the Bible is not just for women. Mm-hmm. It's a learning tool, you know, a thing for men, too.
A great read for all of us.
And I just want to say, I long for the day when none of us have to state that fact, that a book highlighting the powerful, powerful, warrior-like faith of women is in any way has to be noted, that it's for awesome women. But I appreciate you doing it. I'm
sure,
not saying
sure.
that. But honestly, a book about the men in the Bible, our patriarch Abraham, a book about, you know, the women in the Bible. They are all equal because these were all people of great power and great faith, and they went through so much.
Amen. That'll preach.
I'll preach it.
Now, Marina, when we opened up the program, we used Philippians 1:21, which says, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Why did you choose that when I said, "Hey, let's open up the program with a verse that's close to your heart"? Why Philippians 1:21?
This verse sustained me through the darkest time in my life. When I talk about that time, whether it was hours or days, where I just was unaware of everything around me, I remember there was only one verse. And I think that's a bit ironic being a Bible scholar, right? I should have had many verses.
Oh.
But with my brain injury, my brain was blank. If it could ever be, there was not a thought in my brain for a long time other than to chant the phrase, "To live is Christ." And Mark, I'm telling you that my life was on the edge. I nearly died that day. I was nearly dead when I arrived at the hospital. And even though the surgeon saved my life with emergency surgery, I think that somehow it took a while for me to pass through that valley of the shadow of death and to truly live again. So when I say the passage, "To live is Christ," for me it was as real as could be, not as some beautiful spiritual truth only, but it was a physical truth. And I know those dark hours, it was only Christ that brought me through. And in the long road to recovery, I had severe amnesia and still do, almost no memories of life. I had to teach myself English again, everything. As I said earlier, I had to restart on life. So just to know that Christ was my source of life and walking with me every step of the way was the truth I held on to for many months.
Praise God for your life, Marina.
Amen. Now, yesterday you gave a great example of Mary and why you chose her to be a part of this book. And earlier we talked about Hagar. How about Hannah? What can we learn and glean from Hannah's example and life story in the Bible?
That's a great question.
I'm so glad you raised Hannah because she's so close to my heart, and I almost feel sometimes like she's a distant person I've met before because I've read her story so many times. But after the accident, about a couple years after, we went to the doctor and we said, "I really want to have a child. Is that possible?" And the doctor did a bunch of tests. And when we returned, he gave me a piece of paper, and on it had all kinds of stuff I didn't understand. But in a huge font, it said 0.00001% chance. That was a chance of me having a child. And the first split second, it was devastating. But you know what? In the very next second, it was so relieving. Like, it was literally a burden lifted off of me because I realized this now is in God's hands, and I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to keep walking around this burden on me. If I get pregnant, it will be because of a miracle that God has done and His faithfulness in my life.
Oh.
So I read Hannah, right? A very similar situation. She's been trying hard to have a child for years. And her husband has another wife, and they have lots of children, which the Bible tells us repeatedly. And I think it's there to remind us of the isolation of Hannah. She's living day by day surrounded by children, the poor woman. So she goes to the temple, and what does she do? She pours out her God, so real, so raw. She just tells the Lord exactly the pain that she's suffering with. And that in itself is so beautiful.
Yes, it
is. And then she prays a prayer of desperation, "God, please give me a child." And then what does she do? There's this beautiful verse that has been a huge inspiration to me. She got up, she went on her way, she ate, and she held her face was no longer downcast. So I thought, this amazing woman had no sign that she was pregnant yet. And yet she was able to hold her head up and not be downcast. And I know many of your listeners, they have sorrow and suffering, and I don't think we should ever brush that aside. But I think it's beautiful as people of faith that we can have sorrow and suffering, and we can embrace that and feel it and be united in Christ in His suffering, but we can also have joy at the same time. And that's a dichotomy only available in Christ. And let me just add quickly how beautiful that I also did have a child, and her middle name is Hannah.
Yeah, speaking of Willow, is she around? Is she just outside your little converted closet studio? Is she available to give a shout-out for her mother over the air or say something about Larry, her daddy?
Mark, she is in another room with her dad, but Yeah, can you want me to call her?
Yeah, call him. Call him in there.
I just need 1 minute, and I'll see. She's three, so she does what she wants.
Okay.
She's three.
Give me just 30 seconds.
I love that. That is a three-year-old.
So let me see. Here we are. So let me take out the earphones, and let's see. Oh, we're not going to hear. Okay. Talk right into the mic.
Hi, Willow.
God bless you.
Oh, thank you, Willow. I feel blessed for you to say that. Thank you. God bless you. How is your day?
Mine is really good. Bible study.
Oh, you're having a study?
What's going on with your day?
An interview.
You sure are.
Yeah, maybe you're interviewing us.
Yeah.
We received that blessing. And you make sure you bless and pray over your daddy and mommy today, okay?
Okay.
Right. Willow,
thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, sweetheart.
Daddy. That was
girl.
Willow.
Daddy, shut the door like a good girl. That's my love. Good girl. I love you. No more talking, baby. I love you. Did she say something useful?
Yes, she did.
Yeah. That was Willow Hannah Willard, and she was our first ever three-year-old on the Mark and Friends broadcast.
Pretty impressive, if you ask me.
We appreciate the God-honoring story, too, that Marina's sharing about this miracle child and the .0003 or 9 or whatever, that unless God was going to be involved in the process, which every child that's born is a miracle of God. I mean,
absolutely,
it's just amazing. Only He can breathe life into anything. And so, wow, what a neat way that God rewarded you too, and you, like Hannah, received this gift. And I'm sure you've already given it back to Him, because she's praying for your husband and praying for people at church. You said it's rather amazing, sometimes shocking, that at 3 years old, she knows to pray for people. But I think you said you were modeling this. She's just learning from what you and your husband do.
Yeah,
and I think it comes back to the legacy we can leave our children. And even that connects to Hannah. When you look at the character Samuel in the Bible, he's a great, and many people know of him. But when you look at his life is filled with prayer, service to God, trials, sometimes trials with the priest. All these things are a reflection of Hannah's legacy, I believe. So it's a constant encouragement that when we dedicate our children to God, God will work through them, but it's also a challenge that we need to emulate Christ constantly.
That's well said. Well, Marina, I have a question for you. What's coming next for you? Are you going to write more books? Are you going to speak, interviewing? What's ahead?
Well, we're currently working on a Spanish version of the book and the video series, especially for the Colombians who have asked to bring this across the nation to their women.
That's great.
My love, you have to go. Go and put the case behind you. Go do something. Thank you. Willow, go.
She's a natural. She wants to come back.
Darling, you got to go.
She's got the radio bug.
I know it. We did it, Mark. Someday in the long in the future, when she's very famous on the radio, we can say it was us.
Sit right there. Don't say a single word. Understand? Don't say a word. Promise me?
Sorry.
I've opened a can of worms here.
I think we did it.
She will sit quietly, and otherwise I'll just have to be dramatic. Don't say a word, okay?
We did this.
Yeah.
It's our fault. So what were you say? You're working on a Spanish book for Colombia?
Yes, and then in October, I have a women's conference, and I'm glad to know conferences are starting up again. So hopefully, as this pandemic passes us by, I'll have lots of opportunity to bring the story of God's faithfulness to many women.
Oh, that's great.
Now, are you still also teaching at the college or university with, you know, raising Willow and all the other responsibilities and speaking?
I do. I decided to cut out sleep from my life so that it's all possible.
I understand that so well.
Yes, I do teach at the university as well, Palm Beach Atlantic.
In our closing couple of minutes, tell us a little bit about the midwives and why they were included in your book.
Yes, you know, not many people talk about the midwives, but we have the story of Exodus, right? A great story of one miracle after another, very dramatic. God's deliverance of the Hebrews from Egypt, and many of us have seen the movies about it. We're familiar with the story. But so many people don't realize that book starts with the story of two midwives, and their life changes dramatically when the king of Egypt tells them to kill the baby boys. And obviously that was foolish of the king because he asked the wrong people. Their job is to bring babies into the world and to bring life and to care for moms. And here the king wants the midwives to do something devastating. So what are they going to do? It's a beautiful story where they stand up to the king. They find a clever way to embarrass him with a deceit. And they end up saving their lives, but they also are able to keep bringing life into the world. So for me, it's a great story of how God does something extraordinary through their courage, but also he works through the ordinary because their action is simply to keep doing what they do, to keep doing their job, not to let anyone stop them from the life-giving career they have.
Oh, that's interesting. I never thought about it.
Yeah, for the Pregnancy Resource Center or something, that should, you know, be prominent.
You know, it's very powerful. Need to look into that. That's big. Wow, Marina, you've given us a lot to think about.
Thank you. The stories of the women in the Bible are filled with irony and they're complex and there really is so much we can take away.
Yeah. So listening friends, we encourage you to not just pick up one copy, but purchase multiple copies for friends and neighbors. It's titled Women in the Bible, Small Group Bible Study. It's penned by and written by Dr. Marina Hoffman, H-O-F-M-A-N. You can search for that on Amazon or find it at your local bookstore. But it's a great book, and if you missed a portion of today or yesterday's broadcast, they're both archived at greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org under the Mark and Friends link, and you can listen to the full program or right-click on it, paste it into an email, and send it to a friend so they can hear the broadcast, too. So thank you, Marina, for being available for today and yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, and we'll pray that God continues to speak in and through you and use your writing gifts and your testimony to further equip people to follow Jesus and be great ambassadors for God.
Thank you, Marina.
Thank you, and I really encourage your listeners. I hope they're just encouraged in the Lord and they keep committed to God's ways and keep moving forward in the strength of the Lord.
Amen. That'll preach.
Yes,
well, thanks
it will.
For listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. I'll close out with dedicating this song to Willow on her radio debut. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Who is that little fella? Ketchup on his nose, spaghetti in his hair, and that Kodak pose. Who's sitting in that high chair, keeping rhythm with a spoon? He's got your full attention and you're crazy as a loon. Well, he might be the doctor that finally finds a cure, or the one who brings the schools back into prayer. An artist with that pudding in her hand, who's sitting in that high chair with her supper on the floor. She's got you saying things like, I can't take it anymore. She might be the fun.